Turn. Okay, so welcome to the Sunday Night There Is a Solution newcomer and returning member meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at OA Ontario, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater and a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions of the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Welcome, Juanice, a compulsive overeater from Simi Valley, California.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. My name is Juanice, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater and from California, Simi Valley, and just so grateful, always so grateful, and such a privilege to be able to carry this message of the spiritual awakening that has taken over my life and revolutionized my whole life. And I'm just so grateful. I'm just so grateful to be here. My story of what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now is I grew up in a family of six, which I was the baby. And I was just absolutely spoiled from like the time I was born and got everything I wanted in my way. And my way and what I wanted was more food. Just from as far back as I can remember, it was always about food for me. We had a lot of fruit trees in my town, and I would go and just pick fruit. And just every time I think I ate fruit or was eating fruit, somebody said to me, "My niece, you're going to get sick if you eat all that fruit." And every time I got sick, and every time I did it again and again and again, it's just how it was. I was the one that ate all of the St. Joseph aspirins, the orange flavor aspirins. I ate the whole bottle. I was the one that, and this is little. This is when I was really young, and I ate all of my mom's diet candy, the kind that made you go to the bathroom and had to deal with that on. I ate a whole box of that stuff one day. And it was bad. It was bad. But to me, it was just candy, you know? And it's so funny. I never thought, I remember finding it or just seeing it. I was in my mom's car one time, opened the glove compartment, and that's where her diet candy was. And it never dawned on me until I got recovered and doing inventory that she was hiding it from me. Because if she left it in the house, I was gonna get it and I was gonna eat it, all of it, you know. And so growing up, I would always hear, you know, give it to Juanice, she'll eat it. You know, why are you eating again? You know, I didn't notice any of this stuff while I was growing up. I didn't notice it until I got recovered and looked at it in inventory and stuff. Otherwise, it just went in one ear and out of the other. I was always the one that wanted to eat more and more at the dinner table, never wanted it to end, really. And that just was my life, you know. But I didn't know. I was really thin growing up. I was not heavy growing up at all. And I weighed like around 115, 113, 115, and got pregnant when I was 16. And at 6 months pregnant, I weighed 123 pounds. And when I delivered my son, I weighed 195 pounds. So I gained over 70 pounds in 3 months. And that's when I think that I mean, it just kicked off like crazy. I just ate and ate and ate and ate and didn't think anything was wrong with it. I had never known anything about an Overeaters Anonymous or that I really never knew anything about addiction or even alcoholism. But alcohol and cocaine addiction is what brought me into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I mean, I'm seeing of, you know, 12-step rooms. And that's where I came through. And I do like to always tell this story that when I started using drugs really bad, my brother called my cousin down to come talk to me, who's a pastor. And when he left town, he told my brother, he said, I've never seen a dope fiend that fat. Oh no, he said, that's the fattest dope fiend I've ever seen. So that's just how it was. I was just always overweight at that point and could never lose the weight. But anyway, okay, so now let me get down to it. So let me show my pic, share my pictures. They're right here. Oh, I don't want to start there. Hold on one second. Please hold. I have got to scroll to the top for a reason. I can't start at the bottom. Okay, so let me share screen. Click on the pictures. And can you see them yet? You can see them? Okay. So this is pretty much my story of what it was like. I don't know what my weight was at this point. I was in corporate America doing really well. This is when I started to believe that I had a problem when I got to be this size. All I know is that I had on these pair of black pants right here that I was the only black pants I could wear. And they were a size 16, and I was happy about that. So they had gotten to where they were worn out between the legs. They had rubbed to where there was no fabric left, no fabric at all left. And I had tried everything to patch them up, and it was time to buy some new pants. And I went to the store. 16 was way too small. I tried on the 18, they were too little. And that's when I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna have to buy a size 20. And I cried, oh my God, that hurt me to my soul. Because I was in denial. I didn't even really realize how much I weighed. And then this went from here to here. Oh, and sometimes these pictures really got to get to me because I was always smiling, this big, big smile. And inside, I was dying. I was really dying because I was gripped by something that even the greatest desire to stop didn't stop it. And I was the baffled one. I didn't know what to do. How can this keep happening to me? I don't want this anymore. And it was nothing I could do to stop it. So this picture here is a picture of me and the girl in my group that used to always be the biggest one. And you can't see it because it's all grainy and everything, but I'm way, way heavier than she is on here. Just another heavy, heavy picture. And now, this one, when you get to see, this is when I started searching for a solution through 12-step rooms, but I wasn't working the 12 steps ever. But I was going to OA for as to use it as a diet club. A lady in AA had mentioned that she goes to AA and she uses it at a diet club. I was like, okay, good. That's what I'm going to go do then. And this my first sponsor I got, she told me, I said, well, what do I eat? And she said, oh, you know what to eat. So I was like, okay, well, I thought that meant good, eat what you know you're going to lose weight on. So I ate a piece of chicken and a one cup of vegetables, and that was my meal. And I even called her and I said, do you think that how long is my talk? Is it 20 minutes, 30 minutes? What is it? 15 minutes?
30 minutes
30.
off.
Oh, is it 30? Please let me know when I get to 20. Somebody, whoever's typing.
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, great. When I got 10 minutes left. Okay, so she told me what to eat. I ate that for about, I think I lasted the first time in OA, going to meetings, being of service, not working any steps for about a year or two. And I went in and out and in and out of OA four times before I finally went to see it, see how. And I went to see how and found out that it was about the flour and the sugar, which I wasn't eating anyway, but it was about quantity. I wasn't eating enough food. I needed more food. Remember, I was eating one piece of chicken and one cup of vegetables. And I called my sponsor and I said, do you think that I should eat one or maybe two cups of vegetables? She said, no, one is probably enough. But okay. So when I got to see how they said, you wasn't eating enough food. So then I was eating these huge quantities of vegetables and still just, small protein. But it worked. It worked. I lost the weight. I stayed in there for about 2 years. And then ended up leaving. Remember, I'm not recovered here. I'm only recovered in the physical sense. I wasn't recovered dealing with the obsession that was gonna catch up sooner or later. And so in OA and see how, and I'm t what I my what it was like lasts about 30 years. It's about 3 decades, but I went from this back up to this, from this back up to this at least 4 or 5 times. And that's probably being modest. You know, I would go to work. I worked at the same place, this same office, in the same room with these same people. I was still working at the same place here. I was still working at the same place here. Had a great job, fun job. But anyway, I was working in the same room with the same people going up and down and up and down. This year I'd show up and everybody was like, "Oh gosh, you look so good, Juanes." And then I'd come show back up, blowing up again, going up again. And I could see the looks, you know, those looks like, "Oh, like what's going on?" One lady even told me, "What are you doing? Why are you doing this?" I didn't know. I had excuses back then. Oh, I was upset or, you know, whatever. But I really didn't know. I didn't know. I didn't know. I had no clue. I had went to OA. I had got sober in AA, and but in AA I did work the steps. So I figured, why can't I get sober in OA on the same steps that I've already worked? People in AA were always telling me, it's the same steps, Juanice. And I'm like, I know, but I knew I wasn't getting something. I needed something and I didn't know what it was. So anyhow, so up and down and up and down, see how this is the end of my OA and see how days. Then I went to FA. I went to FA and I found that it was sugar, flour, quantities, everything, you know, I have to only have 6 ounces of this and 6 ounces of that, 4 ounces of this. And fruit once a day, a lot of more restrictive stuff. And that led me to this right here. This is when I was literally a size zero. My family thought that my sister thought that I had cancer, and I just didn't want to tell anybody. And I thought in FA I had the game beat the game. I had reached the Holy Grail. I was a size zero. Where else you gonna go? Fractions? I mean, you know, I was a zero. I was a zero. I did it. I'm here, whatever. There's nowhere else to go. I can't go no lower. You know, I had no idea what my problem was. And so I thought I had won. And then short, not after that, I don't know how long it took, but I found myself in February of 2020 looking like this after I had been this and my zero. And I was the lady get up, you know, abstinence is the most important thing in my life. You know, ain't nothing, no food feel as good as abstinence look and all of the sayings and all of the stuff. This was me. I had said it all. You know, people were always saying, "You was the thin, look, you the thinnest one in the room. You always the thinnest one in the room." And I thought that meant something. That I was recovered. I really thought I was recovered. I did. And I wasn't. And so what you can only imagine what I felt when I got back to this. Always the big smile on my face. This was the day that I was going to do something about it. I was at a hiking trail. That's what this is the rules and all that for the hiking trail. And I mean, I was going to do something about it that day. I went home that day and binged like was nobody's tomorrow. The end of my binging looked like mouth bleeding, right eye swollen shut. Horrific gastric pain. I'm talking bent over, can't walk, gastric pain, hiding food in my underwear drawer because my boyfriend couldn't find it, hiding food in my nightstand, you know, so I could just close that door at night I had a big screen TV mounted on the wall. I went and bought an adjustable massage bed so I could lay there and binge my brains out. So that I and all of that stuff spinning, all of that was so I was trying to control and enjoy it. I was trying to force any kind of satisfaction out of it that I could possibly get. I had to try, I was looking for reasons to make this thing work because I was licked and I couldn't get out of it. And I had tried so hard to get out of it and I just couldn't do it. I had no answers. I had no answers. I had a true quicksand stretched all around me experience, just like Bill did when he said quicksand stretched all around me. I know what that feels like. Because I couldn't go back to OA. I couldn't go back to FA. I couldn't go back to church. I tried through church. I'm not saying I couldn't go back. I'm just saying when I looked at those things in that my quicksand moment, it all looked like sinking because I thought I had tried all of this stuff. I had gotten to a zero. Quicksand stretched all around me. What was I going to do? What was I gonna do now? Because when I started eating to where my mouth was bleeding and all of that, I saw myself on my 600-pound life TV show. I said, "You're gonna eat yourself to death. You're gonna eat yourself to death, Juanes. You're gonna kill yourself with this. There's no way you can stop." And I remember praying, I'm gonna stop now. I remember praying and saying, "But God, you delivered me from drugs and alcohol. Why can't you deliver me from this?" You know? And then I just started to say, "Well, maybe I just don't get to have this one. I got to be satisfied with not, not drinking and not using drugs anymore, and I just don't get to have this one." Boy, was I wrong. But when I got to my quicksand moment and I reached out and I just didn't, I went to Google. Thank God for Google. I went to Google and I started Googling help for overeating because I wasn't looking to go back to OA. I wasn't looking to go back to anything I had already been to because I thought it didn't work. When I Googled help for overeating, I was surprised to see how much came up. There's a bunch of stuff on there. But the first take God is so good. I'm so grateful to my higher power that he knows exactly how to talk to me. The first lady that I heard when that I clicked on, she said, "My name is, I don't know what it was. My name is so and so, and I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm gonna tell you right now, abstinence is the most important thing in my life." And all I heard was my own arrogance and my own, sickness. And I said, this ain't it. I know this is not for me. And so the next one I clicked on was a man. And he said, "The first thing I want to tell you is," and I was like, "Oh boy, here we go. The first thing I want to tell you is abstinence." Right after I had heard the lady say abstinence is the most important thing, he said, "Abstinence is not the most important thing in my life. My relationship with my higher power is." And my ears opened up and I said, "Uh-oh, wait a minute. Uh-oh, this is something new. Uh-oh, uh-oh." And then as I listened to him more, he started saying how he had worked the steps through the big book, through Joe and Charlie. Joe and Charlie is how I got sober. That's where I started really getting to understand the recovery process. And I said, "Oh my goodness." And it was Laurie C. is who I was listening to. And so I started listening to his tapes every day on that Google. I started listening to him, listening to him, listening to him. And I got so excited. I called my friend. And there's a saying around here that God sends out search and rescue missions for us, And I called my friend to tell her, "Oh, how excited I was about this man I had heard, Laurie C." And she said, "Juanice, that's the person I was trying to tell you about 6 years ago. When I was when abstinence was the most important, I was a size zero and I knew it all." She said, "I was trying to tell you about that way back then." He goes to a meeting called A Vision for You, and it's a phone meeting. And I was like, "Oh my gosh, what?" So I went to A Vision for You and started to hear the message of recovery. the message of recovery that God could and would if he were sought. That God could and would if he were sought. That we are compulsive overeaters and cannot manage our own lives. That probably no human power can relieve my compulsive eating. And see that God could and would if he were sought. That's what I started to hear. But I still wasn't really clear. I went from there to another meeting where all they do is drill it in. They drilled it into me. I said something at a meeting one time about how I think my program would be a little better if I would just pray, and I was cut off. The lady said, no, 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 wait a minute. She said, there is no program without prayer. Prayer creates the program. And my ears are on fire. I'm like, what? What it creates the pro what? I never heard this in AA. What are you talking about? And so then I finally understood what my problem was. My problem is that I have a spiritual sickness. I am spiritually sick. I have a disease that lives in my thinking, and I have an allergy of the body that anytime I put something in my body, I can't stop. Until I'm, I guess, 600 pounds without a spiritual experience. I don't know, but the disease is in my thinking. So if, as long as I don't have anything in my body, if I stay away from food, from my alcoholic foods for any period of time, my mind is going to always convince me to go back to it. I used to just think that I was changing my mind. Oh, I changed my mind. I don't want to do that. I don't want to really lose weight. Forget it. I'm just going to be fat, dumb, and happy, happy like a whole lot of other people. I, you know, and
that's 20 minutes.
Thank you. And it goes so fast for me. I talk too much anyway. And it never, and I never understood that I was never, that I was going to always change my mind. My mind was going to always tell me I really was taking this too serious. I was being too drastic. My mind is going to always tell me it's okay to go back to the food. Always, unless I have a psychic change, a spiritual experience, a personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from compulsive eating. Once I finally understood what I was supposed to be doing here, because I didn't know what my problem was. So how could I possibly find a solution? I didn't know that there was that what I needed to do was to seek a God of my understanding through those steps. The steps, I heard a lady say one time that the steps are like a treasure map. And the treasure is God. So once I understood that I'm not seeking abstinence, huh? What? Once I understood that I'm not seeking weight loss, what are you talking about? Huh? Once I understood that what I was seeking was power, which is the power greater than me, once I understood that I was seeking God through those steps, and not seeking abstinence and weight loss, oh my gosh, it was like a big old gigantic weight was lifted off my shoulders. And I was like, okay, so now I need to find a sponsor. And then I understood how, you know, you can't transmit something you haven't got. So if you haven't had a spiritual awakening, you can't transfer a spiritual awakening. So when I started looking for a sponsor, I'm looking for somebody who's had a spiritual awakening. Have you had a spiritual awakening is what I would ask, you know, and I finally found the sponsor that I have today. And this woman took me through these steps with the focus, you know, it was a long time before she had even shared. I had to hear my sponsor share at a meeting just random to see her pictures. She never even showed me her pictures. And she is like 100 pounder plus. And she never showed me her pictures because it was never about that. It was never about that for us. She never focused on the weight loss. It was all about finding and building a relationship with God, the God of my understanding. And that just blew me away. It blew me away. When I first saw her pictures, I was like, you know, that speaks volumes to me that you never showed me that. how much weight you have lost, because it was never about that. So I settled down, I prayed, because the big book says, if you want what we have, and if you are willing to go to any lengths to get it, then you're ready to take certain steps. And they said, we stood at the turning point and we prayed. We asked for his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took. So before they took the steps, they prayed. And that's what I did. I did. I said, okay, God, okay. I don't care. I did hire a nutritionist because that's what my sponsor told me to do. I got a healthy food plan that did not come from another compulsive overeater. And I said, I'm not seeking, I'm going to seek you with all of my heart. Finally, I could see what the big book was saying. Finally, I could see how Bill and them said, you know, that our new attitude toward alcohol just came without any thought or effort on our part. They weren't thinking about getting sober. They were thinking about building a relationship with a God of their understanding, because the big book says it so clearly. There's only one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures avail us nothing. You know, I'm just like, I never saw any of this stuff before. I never saw any of this stuff before. So I said, I'm gonna seek you with all of my heart. I'm going to spend that quality time with you in the morning. I'm going to make my calls. I'm going to go to my meet. I'm going to do everything I can, but I'm doing all of this to build a relationship with you, not to be abstinent, not to lose weight. The food, in fact, the food plan that my nutritionist gave me, I didn't think I was going to lose not 1 pound. I don't care. As long as I'm not waking up with my mouth bleeding, I'm happy. As long as I'm not waking up with that gastric pain, I'm happy. It was 6 months later of me doing this with my sponsor. I never questioned anything. I never balked. She got no bucking from me. It was no yeah buts. It was what you say, I'm gonna do. And I did, because she had a spiritual awakening, a very profound, like a white lightning. She thought people was gonna be able to see it by looking at her, how different she was. That's how powerful her awakening was. And I wanted that. And I came after. It was 6 months of abstinence when I realized that I had been going in and out of my refrigerator, in and out of my pantry, and I didn't even see the food in there that I couldn't have. I have a lot of grandkids. I got all kind of crap in my freezer and pan. I didn't see it. I said, "Oh my God, it's happened. It has happened to me. I didn't even see the food. That's just so, that's a miracle that no human power could have brought along." But I settled in, worked the steps with everything that I had, built this relationship with God, sought God. And I gotta always give out a shout out for 6 and 7, because 6 and 7 is so short in the big book. And I found something in 6 and 7 that really has revolutionized my whole recovery. And I couldn't figure out how to, because all I heard about 6 and 7 was contrary action, right? We worked the 10th step to identify our character defects, and then we contrary action. I couldn't figure out how to contrary action entitlement. How do I contrary action jealousy? How do I contrary action these things, you know? And there was a bunch of other ones too. And I got a hold of where it said, we ask God to read. Anytime in the big book when it says ask, it's prayer. And I started, well, I was taught by my sponsor to look up the word, like jealousy, look up its opposite, and pray that God remove whatever the definition is, and pray that God replace it with whatever the opposite is. And I started to do that and do that. And I prayed it every day, every day. One of the biggest one was jealousy. God has removed, delivered, has changed my heart regarding self-pity, jealousy, entitlement, competition. Woo, that was a big one. Because at the root of pride is competition. And I did not, I was in competition with everybody all day, all the time, and didn't even know it. And didn't even know it. But with the jealousy of my sister, I prayed, prayed, prayed until one day I was sitting at my desk and God said, Now put her name in the bottom of the St. Francis of Assisi prayer. Now that wouldn't come from me. I've never thought of the bottom from the top of the St. Francis of Assisi prayer. It was just all a prayer to me. But as soon as I begin to pray, God, grant that I may seek rather to understand Danette than only seek for Danette to understand me. Grant that I may seek rather to comfort Danette than only seek for Danette to comfort me. Oh my gosh, I literally felt a physical presence in my chest and I knew God was rearranging my heart and he was removing that jealousy from me. I haven't
2 minutes
felt
left.
It. Thank you, ma'am. I haven't felt it since. I haven't, it's just been removed. This thing gets removed. I don't have to worry about that's not my food, that's not my food. I don't even see it. It's like the big book says it doesn't exist for us. It really doesn't. And it's not about cocky and it's not about afraid. It's about trust and reliance on a power that's greater than me that has shown up and shown me what he could do. The big book says when we turn to him, he discloses himself to us. And he has shown me that he could keep me. He has shown me that he stands between me and the food. He has shown me he can rearrange my heart and my life is better. Not just acting better, but my heart is changed. You know how Bill said, Ebby's feet grass new soil? My feet grass new soil. It's new soil. I'm not the same person that I was. And it's only because of seeking God through the steps. It's only because of surrendering everything that I can to him and continuing to seek and seek and seek and seek and seek. Because I believe with no matter what it is going on, that God could and God would if he were sought, if he were sought. So thank you for letting me share.
Okay, thank you, Wanice. Amazing.